Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the Ride or Dynasty podcast here. It's the big week. It's the one we've all been waiting for. Ship week. Here we go. Who's on the cruise? Well, this week, a special treat for us. Back! The Meister, the Maestro and Conductor, the Founder, JJ. How you doing, buddy? It's good to see you back.
It is good to be home, Don. It is good to be home. I have to tell you, it's been great listening to you and Kit and Rob and Brendan and maybe Kyle when he jumps on, but just watching you guys grow and take the pod in a different direction. I've really enjoyed it. Congratulations. Not to tease something, but kind of to tease it. We are going to be going to a new home. I'm going to make that announcement probably in the next few weeks, but man, I am so happy to be here. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's always nice to be back. Always great to talk about this. And with two teams going for ships, big days, man. Big
days. You
have
two teams in championships?
I do.
I got massacred.
You know, I could have had three, and all Jalen Waddle had to do was nothing. And he couldn't do that. He had to do something. Now, granted, I needed him to get like less than 4.5 points. Still, got the setback there to one Devi Dirtbag.
Oh, he got it to a championship. Man, that's all we're going to hear about now.
The Writers League, no less.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm not in that league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not a big bad one, but still. Yeah, man, two chances at the ship. That's great. And I see you have the battle with the English department here at Northeast.
Wait.
Coming up for third place, you and Corrigan.
Yes, yes. I don't really look at third place matches. I don't even... I guess I do get money, so I should pay attention to those.
You should pay attention to that one in particular, because you may never hear the end of it should you lose.
That's true. He does. I do work right in between the two of you, so I should pay more attention.
It's true. You may get it from both sides that way.
Hey, now.
Hey. Good to have you back, my friend. So let's dive into it a little bit this week with some new stuff. First of all, we got to look at Tampa a little bit, and they were in the weeds trying to find wide receivers, trying to find anybody who could run and catch a ball. Well, help is on the horizon. Mike Evans has cleared COVID protocol, and the hamstring appears to be better. He practiced in full today and should make his return. Sleeper has him projected right now at approximately 6 points. JJ, why do you think so low?
Man, I don't trust anybody coming off of a hamstring. It makes me really nervous when I see somebody back for that first week. But this is your championship week. Are you going to go? We're going to talk about some guys who are flyers, guys on who just showed up last week for the first time. If you made it this far, you got to start Evans, right?
I would think so. I mean, this has got to be back to like dance with the one who brung you, because Evans was the key part of so many teams here trying to get down the stretch. Went into that lull that the whole Tampa offense went into, especially when Fournette blew up. But still, I think that you got to give him the chance, especially with Chris Godwin out. All it takes is one TD and one deep ball. Even if he's only playing the red zone snaps, you would have to think that those are going to be valuable, and he just has to catch one, and it could make your season. That segues nicely into the big waiver ads, because this week a few absolutely key ones blew up, and some people blew all the rest of the fab money they had to either keep guys away from other competitors.
That was you.
That was this guy.
That was you. You did that.
I cashed in over 50 fab monies through exactly that.
And who did you pick up? I want to see if you can pronounce it. Go ahead, young man.
Oh, I love this game.
I'll take this one. Dare Ogunbowale.
I know you practiced it. I knew you were ready to go, and I was going to fumble that, but it doesn't change his importance. Taking over and filling the void left by the Achilles injury suffered by one James Robinson. And then the other being Isaiah McKenzie, much easier to say, who absolutely blew up in Buffalo this week. First of all, of the two, who do you think has a better chance to repeat the 20-plus point showing for McKenzie?
Well, of course, Dare does. I wish we had the technological capabilities on this show to to flash back to last year and start playing some of my my hot takes on how Dare was going to be the running back to own in Tampa Bay. Then you could fast forward to this past offseason when I said Gio Bernard was the back to have in Tampa Bay. Turns out I was just 2 years too late and on the wrong team for Dare to show up in the final week. But there is nobody else on that depth chart. With James Robinson out, Carlos Hyde is out for the year. That's it. It's Dare. He's going to get the carries. Will he have his he's not playing the Jets again. But
it's true.
I think you should see a low RB 2 week out of Dare.
He does have the tough New England defense.
But now where are you with Isaiah? I know you picked him up, but do you really think that, I mean, is Cole Beasley going to be back?
So that's the grand question. Is Beasley going to be back? Is Sanders going to be healthy? Both of those, we don't know. One is in COVID protocol still. We know, obviously, Cole Beasley is not vaccinated. He sort of made that really clear.
What?
Yeah, imagine that.
Next thing you're going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers doesn't understand the scientific method.
Or any of the things that happen to you when you get COVID or any other things. Yes. He throws a football real good, so that's what we got. It's even pretty. But I think of the two, you're absolutely right. Ogun Balaway is definitely the guy to have because there's a clear road to the opportunity. It's likely that one or the other of those Buffalo wide receivers show up and are able to play. So I would expect that the opportunity for McKenzie there just isn't there. For me, both of those moves were preemptive just to make sure that nobody else could get help.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing to look at is Isaiah McKenzie. He's a second year player, correct?
I believe.
If I'm not mistaken, he was drafted not this past year, the year
it
before.
Wasn't, yeah.
I mean, that's great news for the Bills, right? Get rid of Cole Beasley in the offseason. You know, he's an older player.
Sanders, receiver, too.
Bit of an issue. Sanders is old. You know, bring in a new guy to go in next to Stephon Diggs. You know, see what you have. I like seeing that out of Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, it was very encouraging to see that opportunity and stepping into the exact role that Beasley holds. So case in point, he can do it. Let's see what that actually turns into. Could be something, could be nothing. But in the dynasty world, you take your opportunities where you can get them. And with our rosters as they are, it's a great opportunity to stash somebody for later and roll those proverbial bones because they can pay off. We say that with the guys off the waiver wire. Now it's time to wave goodbye to a long-standing quarterback for the league. Depending on your feelings for him, it doesn't matter. He's been in the league for a very long time, been extremely productive, and has brought more than one person a fantasy ship. Ben Roethlisberger is about to sail off into the sunset. Monday night will be his last home start of the regular season in Pittsburgh. It's been announced numerous outlets today that he's done. This will be it for him. And what a career it's been. I feel like it's only fitting that he gets to close it out on a Monday night against his hometown Cleveland Browns. JJ, in terms of historical precedence, first of all, let's think about that quarterback class. How many of those guys end up in the Hall? There's him, there's Eli, there's Phil Rivers.
I mean, all three could. I don't think, man, I don't know. You know, the two championships are going to get Eli there. Ben has two as well, correct?
He does. Yep.
I mean, Philip Rivers doesn't have any. I think Philip Rivers might have been the best quarterback of the three, but championships matter. I don't know. Well, here's a question for you. If we're talking about historical perspective, where do you think you would have Ben ranked as a quarterback? I mean, we're not going to go into a huge deep dive. Is he a top 10 all time, top 20?
Oh, man, that's so difficult. If you look at Steelers, I think he's top one. If you look at historically, God, the league has changed so much, but I think he's knocking at the door at top 10. But if he is, it's sneaking in. Wow. He did it his way for so long. And to stay with one franchise, I mean, good on him in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know if I could put him in the top 20. I always have a hard time with historical rankings because you can tell me all you want about Otto Graham or Johnny Unitas. I didn't see him play. It's hard to understand a player who you never saw play. Same thing with Bradshaw. I mean, you're saying that Ben is better than Bradshaw, but Bradshaw won, what, four championships?
Four. Yep, he won four.
So, I don't know. But you're right. It's a completely different time. It's a different era. You know, I almost wish you could look at it in two different, since I started watching, and before I started watching. I would say he's top 15 since I started watching.
The big arm, the mobility, and the big dude, the enduring vision of Ben is just going to be getting the ball away with three or four guys draped on him and still getting the ball down the field and finding the open wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, just the picture of him completing a pass with a defensive lineman hanging on his back. That's Big Ben.
Yeah.
More than any other player I've ever seen.
Well, back to quarterbacks that are actively playing and meaningful to you if you're in the ship. Lamar Jackson practiced yesterday limping badly and did not practice again today. However, Tyler Huntley clears the COVID protocol, so there's a chance that if Lamar is not able to play, the start would go to Huntley. You better hope you have that handcuff. Boy, that would be an important one to have, because if you have Jackson, chances are you had to invest ridiculous startup draft capital to get him. Or if you're in a long-standing league, that's still got to be like at least your quarterback too. So hopefully you have that handcuff. To the point,
would you feel comfortable going with Josh Johnson?
Boy, it would all, it always depends on the rest of your roster, right? But in a vacuum, I wouldn't. I would, if I had an option that I knew of a position player that was going to get me the 12-ish points, I think I'd probably bank that.
I was shocked at how well Josh Johnson did last week, coming in basically cold.
Yep.
Hadn't been on the team for what, more than a week or two?
If.
And he was able to run that offense and do a decent job with it. I think Josh Johnson is, I mean, he's just a pro, right? He's been around this long. He's seen everything. I was really impressed that he put up, I think he scored, what, 21 points, 24 points?
Yeah, I think it's 21. It all depends on your format.
Right. I'm talking about the team itself put up points.
Oh, yeah.
To watch a quarterback come in there completely cold in an offense they don't know and be able to put up points is very impressive for both the team and the coaching staff. I think if it wasn't for the Ravens having nobody in their secondary, they could have won that game. And the fact they pissed off Burrow by Wink Martindale talking about him. But yeah, I don't know. I would. There's worse people. I might start Josh Johnson. Wait, did I just say that right? Yeah, Josh Johnson.
Yeah,
you got over Zach Wilson. I mean, that's not saying a lot, but I mean, we're going to be talking a little bit about quarterbacks. I would probably start Josh Johnson ahead of Jackson Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think Fields, same deal.
There's worse than going with Josh Johnson. That's all.
That's true. But at this point, if you're dancing for the ship, that's probably not you.
Yeah, but if you also have Huntley and Lamar Jackson on your roster, you might be needing a quarterback right now.
That's very, very true. Speaking of miraculous returns, Cam Akers was a full participant through walkthroughs. Practice today, coming off of a July Achilles tear. What kind of medical witchcraft is this? He could actually be active for this week and be the RB2 behind Sony Michel.
Nope. Just, it's evil. There's some sort of evil wizardry. Something's going on that can't be either ethical or legal. I'm just amazed that he could be running right now after that surgery. That's shocking to me.
It goes against everything we've ever known about Achilles tears, especially for a skill position player to be back and cutting and turning on that leg is unbelievable. But if you want real, better than witchcraft explanations for all this, check out our sister pod, the Next Man Up podcast, where real life medical professionals will explain to you this voodoo magic that this is and do better than it's bad or it looked ouchy. Those guys actually know.
It's not that much better than that, though.
It's true.
I mean, they just use some bigger words like avuncular or, I don't know, words I don't know. Post-anterior, cruciate. Like, I don't know those words. I don't know.
Yeah. Those are knee things. It's fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that goes for the news this week. Time to get into the meat of the pod here and talk about our 2021 rookie class stock update here. We want to look back at last year's rookies coming in and see how they actually did, because there was so much hype around last year's class that these guys were going to come in and be changers. Teams absolutely imploded themselves to try and get an opportunity at the top quarterbacks. Teams moved heaven and earth to try and get an opportunity at the top two running backs. And yet, was it worth it? Well, you'll find out shortly. Let's start with the quarterbacks. The 2021 saw five first round quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence at the one. The New York Jets took Zach Wilson at the two. The biggest movers were San Francisco, who came all the way out of the mid pack of the draft, moved everything that wasn't nailed down to get themselves a chance at Trey Lance. Then we've got Fields in Chicago from 11 and Jones at 15. of the five, who's shown us the most, JJ?
I mean, I think without a doubt, it has to be Mac Jones. I mean, he has the best PFF grade by a mile. He's won the most games. He has actually looked like an NFL quarterback consistently. Now, of course, the past 2 weeks haven't been great, but I would say overall, he has shown the most. However, I mean, he's never going to be a top quarterback.
Correct.
Right? I would never think he might be like one of those, like Kirk Cousins, like QB12, QB11.
Yep.
Maybe if he has a great receiver into like 8-9, but I don't see him as having game-changing ability. Where are you at on Mac Jones?
I'm 100% with you on that. And that's kind of how we had him pegged coming out. We knew that he was going to be a guy who'd be able to throw into with anticipation, done that. We knew he was a guy who could read defenses and get himself into the right plays, done that. We knew he wasn't going to be able to run around a whole lot. Yep, that was shown to be true as well. But this guy always had QB2 and high-end QB2 upside, and I think that's what you're going to get out of him. High-end QB2 in your super flexes, this is a guy you want, not as your QB1, but to run the back end here, because if they are able to put a legitimate wide receiver core around him, he can flourish and be really effective for you.
Well, let's stick with back ends. And two guys who have played like absolute A-double-S, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. As bad as Zach Wilson played last week, he looked as good, if not better, than Trevor Lawrence. How concerned are we about these two, Don?
Boy, you know, it's tough. The concern meter has to be high. The debacle in Jacksonville, really, you hope that that hasn't stunted Lawrence's progression and growth. He said all the right things. He's come out, and for him to actually at the end there start talking against the head coach and kind of rallying his guys a bit is very telling to you that he's got presence and he's got the moxie you want in a QB1. But moxie don't throw footballs. The arm talent is definitely there. The mobility that we expected is definitely there. The wide receiver core is terrible. The offensive line is subpar, and that offense was drawn in crayon. We've been saying it all year on the pod. I can't write him off, but I can't give him a complete pass either. At some point, you would think a 101 is going to win you a game.
You know, I look at it this way. As a Jets fan, obviously, Chad Pennington right there. Hi, Chad. I love the Jets. When you draft a quarterback in the top five first anywhere in the first round, you expect over the course of their first year to see, you know, even in a game, 3 to 4 plays every week that you're just like, that's why we picked him. Little flashes that you're like, that's it. For Zach Wilson, I don't know if we've had 5 or 6 this season of those plays. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of Jaguars games. I don't think anybody watches Jaguar games.
No.
But I don't know if Trevor Lawrence has had a lot of those plays either. And that concerns me, because that amount of talent should show through. When everything else breaks down, they should have the ability to make a play happen. And I didn't see that out of either of them this year. And that concerns me. Now, it could just be a growing process and we all need to show more patience, obviously, but I am still concerned over their long-term outcome.
Yeah, you have to be. This is a what have you done for me now league. It's not even what have you before you done for me lately. It's what have you done for me now. And neither player has really done much of anything for us now. We can hope that as progression goes through, as offensive lines improve, as talent around them improves, that things will get better. Oof, tough sledding at the front.
Now, so who else are we holding on to in this class?
Well, I think we have to start talking about the incomplete grades, first of all. Trey Lance, we don't know.
We don't know.
He hasn't been on the field. We don't know. Writing is all over the place. It's all on the wall that it's going to be his show next year. Garoppolo is now hurt, so we'll get a look at Lance this week. It will only be his second start of the year. The first start was mixed, 50% completion, but boy, he hit the long ball. So he may be absolutely perfect for that offense. All we know is the same thing we knew coming in. He's raw. This was his redshirt year, and you can't trade him because you won't get the value back. But what about Fields, JJ?
I like Fields. You know, you don't often see a player whose head coach is actively working against them. And I don't know Matt Nagy. I don't know anybody on the Bears, obviously. But it really seemed like Matt Nagy just Justin Fields there and never really created a planner. I'll use Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley, and Josh Johnson as the example of when a team wants to build an offense around their best player, they then find players to back that guy up who play in a similar fashion. That way they can keep the same plan going and they use their player strengths. Matt Nagy doesn't do that. He's the genius. It's his offense. He knows what will work best. And that's it. So I don't really judge Justin Fields based upon what I see him doing. I don't know. Where are you on Fields and Nagy?
Out on Nagy, love Fields. Okay. Even in that terrible situation. Now, fortunately, I've been able to see enough Bears games lately to get a real slate on him because they've just been in prime time and do the television the way it is. I've been actually been able to see him. He is giving you the 3 to 5 plays a game that we were looking for. He's given us that opportunity to be excellent. And some of the throws he's made, the elusiveness he's shown, dude's going to be a baller. Absolutely love it. And if you have the opportunity on somebody who's burned up, who isn't happy with the productivity and you can get him, I suggest you do.
I agree on that. Rest of the guys, Kyle Trask, Mond, you're holding on to. Davis Mills, I'm holding on to. Obviously, when I say hold on to, this isn't a one QB league. I'm talking about dynasty and deeper dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even somebody like Sam Ellinger, Felipe Franks down in Atlanta, you know, they liked him enough to keep him as the backup. So definitely going to store them in some of my deeper squads.
Yeah, I think you have to. The only one you even worry about, really, is Davis Mills, in that Houston has such a high draft pick. Do they get enamored and take a first-round QB? But in the last 3 weeks, among rookie quarterbacks, Mills has either been the one or the two. He's crested 20 points two of those 3 weeks. Is it fool's gold? Probably. But that's more than some of the others have shown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're going on to running backs.
Yeah, I think we should. I think it's time to go to the running backs.
You know what? I am so sorry, Don. I have such a hard time not driving the train.
I know, right?
I'm just going to sit back and relax.
We're right on the same thought process, though, because I was going to segue there. You did it for me. You know, you're just helpful. That's how it is. I like it. No worries, buddy. And the 2021 running back class was always going to be an interesting one because there were a couple at the top, and then there was this thing that was going to happen in the middle. Nobody really knew. These guys who had to find the right fit and the right role. The two that we kind of knew were going to be excellent have been. Najee Harris has been absolutely everything as advertised. He's got to get 14 yards on the ground this week to go over 1,000 yards on the ground for a Trek Pittsburgh running game, and has far and away been the points leader for rookie running backs and among the top, if not top, depending on your scoring format, for rookies overall. So he's been everything that managers hoped they would get when they were able to draft him, if they were able to draft him. Williams has been in that terrible timeshare, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about Michael Carter. I'm not worried about Ramondre Stevenson. Based upon where you drafted these guys, you're keeping them on your roster. I want to know about some of these other guys, though. Like, is Travis Etienne still where he was pre-injury for you? Do you have
injuries? Ooh, foot injuries and running backs, man. It's such an interesting deal. It's going to, you know, this is almost more of a next man up. If he can come back with what he was and a real coaching staff in Jacksonville, now you've got a really dynamic 1-2 at running back with Robinson and Etienne, and they're going to use Etienne all over the formations. He's going to be able to do basically what he did at Clemson. The dynamic speed is there. The dynamic burst that made him a one is there. So I'm not worried about him. I think he'll be excellent. It's just a question of, will the coaching staff use him correctly, and will Jacksonville not Jacksonville?
Well, Jacksonville will always Jacksonville. I mean, San Francisco. I was so high on Trey Sermon. I mean, Elijah Mitchell has looked good, but Elijah Mitchell is definitely a San Francisco running back, being that
injured, he ever?
Right? I mean, he's hurt all the time. I don't know what you do with either of those two.
Credit goes to our buddy, the Debbie Dirtbag here. He was all over Elijah Mitchell in the pre-draft process and identified him as somebody to know and somebody to get if you could. But boy, we were high on Sermon, and they're doing everything they can to not put him in a game. They'll give it to anybody but him. And to answer your question about Mitchell, yeah, I definitely worry about guys who can't stay healthy at all. Although rookies who can't stay healthy at all, who are coming out of smaller programs and aren't in that mold of having NFL training capabilities and a full years of the whole nutrition package and everything. Those guys, I give a pass to. If you've got him, he's not available.
I thought you were going to go in the other direction with that. I have some concerns for rookies who come in and are injured their rookie year. It concerns me when your first year out is just plagued by injuries over and over again. I mean, it probably shouldn't, right? Injury prone really isn't a thing.
So they tell us. And this has been a lot of the same nagging injury over and over. Some of it was possibly rushed back too soon. Some of it may have been too much too soon or overexposed for a rookie who's not used to NFL rigors. I mean, how many rookies have we seen that have get dinged up or have tough seasons and then come back and be fine once they get to NFL training standards?
Yeah. Who else are we looking at in this class? I mean, I'm still on Trey Sermon. I'm giving him another shot. I'm hoping
he'll can't get rid of him
next year. What about Kenneth Gainwell? Where are you with Kenny Gainwell?
The Eagles have done everything they can to not put him in a football game. And with Sanders going in and out the way he has, I expected that he would try and get some run, and it's been the fumblies. So I don't know that he has the expressed trust of a coaching staff that now has two veteran backs that are not turning the ball over in Howard and Scott. It's look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's like football coach 101. And they are happy to turn the rock over to those guys because they're getting 4 yards, 5 yards a clip, sometimes more, and not turning the ball over. So that keeps it in second and manageable and puts the offense on track.
You know, somebody who I'm trying to acquire as soon as the trading deadline, trading rights open again after this week, Khalil Herbert. Khalil had like a really nice stretch of games there in the middle of the season. And I think people have kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah, Monty came back and went back to doing Monty things. But the Hokie here, Herbert, has shown to be basically the same kind of dude. And we liked it when he came out, that he was the same body type, could do similar things to what Monty could do, and was that tough Chicago style of running back. Yeah, he's a great guy to get. And especially if you have Monty, he's definitely somebody who should be on your radar. I really like that comp, and that's a great one to mention. JJ, what do you think about Roundtree in San Diego? Do you think he's got a shot to turn into anything, or is he a dude?
I mean, listen, we saw guys blow up this week, like Dare, who hadn't done anything in an NFL game in years. I think he could, given an opportunity, flash. So if you drafted him, right, he went, probably in the fourth round?
Yeah.
Fifth round? I would keep him if you have the roster space. I would keep Roundtree for another year, see what happens. All he needs is an opportunity. Opportunities seem to come up a lot now in the NFL. So I'm willing to give him a little bit more time on a roster. But what about somebody like Kylan Hill for you, or, I don't know, Demetric Felton? Where are you keeping them?
I'm not. Those are guys that I look at as, we talk about this every year, as roster pluggers, guys that we, if this thing happens or if this thing happens, all it has to do is go right and they'll be fine. Cleveland is loaded, absolutely loaded with running backs. And with Durst Johnson showing and being as good as he was, there's just not room there for Felton. Sorry, there just isn't. There are too many guys who can do too many things. There's no opportunity. So for him, I'm out. Hill, I just didn't see enough when he got some run. He got a little, and he just didn't do anything for me. So I just don't see that happening for the former Razorback.
Are you moving on to wide receiver?
There's just one more name you got to know.
Oh.
And there's one more stash that I think you want, and that's Patterson for the Washington football team.
Oh, absolutely.
He's starting to get himself opportunity, and he's starting to show. The former Buffalo product looks like he's a guy to have.
Yeah, and hey, if you're going with those later round guys, I know Jarrett Patterson always had a running mate when people talked about him. That was Jamar Jefferson. Jamar Jefferson hasn't looked terrible with the few opportunities he's been given.
Yep.
That's somebody with a little bit of seasoning might be able to flash next year, given a little more opportunity.
Yep. Deep backfields are tough, but for teams like Detroit that want to run the ball and really possess the clock, you need the third guy so they have relevance. So I think we'll go to the wide receiver crew this time, and let's talk about the top. We'll start at the top because it bears it. Ja'Marr Chase set himself apart and was on track for history at the beginning of the season. Compare the beginning of the season and preseason and the woes with what we experienced with Chase, JJ.
You mean people complaining about his hands because he couldn't catch balls in the preseason?
Exactly.
I think people, we live in a society that loves to tear people down. I might be part of that. I do it sometimes. But people just look at the guys at the top and try to find something crappy about them and then just harp on it. I mean, he made an innocuous comment based upon a specific question mentioning the circles on the ball, like the lines, and people blew it out of proportion. I'm happy with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase has shown everything he needs to show as an alpha receiver in this league. I mean, that offense, if they trust Burrow, man, that's a scary offense on Cincinnati. But, you know, I think all the top guys showed up. Devonta Smith looked good. Mm-hmm. Waddle looked amazing. I thought Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore, right? These guys all looked great.
Absolutely. They've all shown they've all had moments, and some of them with subpar quarterback or inconsistent quarterback play between COVID and injuries and everything else. They've had like veritable who's that's throwing them the football, and yet they're still getting it done. If you saw the play Devonta Smith had last week, the toe touch out of the back of the end zone, credit to Hurts for putting a good ball on him, but man, the catch was so much better. He's going to be a good one, and it's going to be, as much as it pains me, he's going to be a good Eagle for a long time. The city's going to love him.
Now, somebody who I know let down, I know you were let down. Rob Mongol was let down. Terrace Marshall.
Yeah. I loved him coming out.
But is this just an example? Like, he's an obvious hold, right? Mm-hmm. Robbie won't be back. Somebody won't be back there next year. Do we expect better things? Like, is he a definite, like, two-year player?
Oh, yeah. You definitely can't. You can't liquidate him now. First of all, the capital you put into getting him, you need to hold on to him because he was a second round pick for almost everybody, unless you took him at the 112. He was a second, end of the first, early second pick. So you just don't liquidate those guys because eventually they're going to flash. Too good in college not to be successful eventually. And there will be a role for him. That quarterback situation has been so unsettled with, I mean, Sammy, who can sort of kind of throw a football.
No, he can't.
To two guys who really can't.
Yeah, that's true.
It's different degrees of can't, but still can't.
I can't dunk.
Well, but I really can't dunk.
You're right. Different levels.
Degrees of can't.
I like that. Well, yep. Who was your biggest wide receiver surprise this year?
Oh, man. The biggest surprise. I think my biggest surprise was just how good Chase was came out.
I know
it's not easy. I knew he'd be good. I didn't think he'd be that good.
Want a receiver who surprised you, who you didn't think was going to be good, and they were good.
I didn't think anything of Nico Collins. I didn't think anything at all. He came out and played for Houston, and before he got hurt, showed well and showed he belonged in a deep wide receiver class. So he was a guy that really surprised me because I thought junk and done.
Now, of course, I set you up to talk about Amon-Ra because I will not talk about him.
No, I know you won't, but I can. Another one, the Debbie Dirtbag, we had arguments about this. He absolutely loved Amon-Ra St. Brown coming out. And then he went to Detroit. He's like, oh, well, that's the end of him.
Well, are you willing to acquire? What would you pay to acquire the services of Mr. St. Brown?
A two. I'm not going
for a two.
I'm not going over the top here, but there is absolutely no wide receiver one there. He may get wide receiver one targets. He is now. He may down the line. The whole offense can't be TJ Hawk. It can't. So somebody's getting the wide receiver one targets at least, and he, by default, is the guy. So sometimes we trade for opportunity, and for me, a two isn't too much for opportunity.
I'll tell you who surprised me was Kadarius Toney. I really thought it was a bad draft pick. I thought they reached. I didn't like anything about it. I still don't like his situation. I don't like his quarterback. I don't like the offensive scheme. I don't like the head coach. He really showed that he could play. Like, he definitely, if used correctly, has a spot in this league. And I was pretty surprised with his level of play. Now, I know he only had one great week this year, but I don't know how many great weeks any Giant had this year. But I was definitely pleasantly surprised by his outlook. And that was somebody who I gave zero chance of being successful.
Absolutely. And when he didn't get in his own way by, like, I don't know, punching a dude with a football helmet on, still.
That's right. He did get thrown out of the one game he played well in, didn't he?
He did. God. And then he broke his hand doing it. So, you know, you need these to catch footballs. So let's punch a steel caged thing.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Whatever.
That's dumb. So who else? Diami Brown showed up last week. That made me feel good.
Encouraging, because there'd been a whole lot of scrap floating around the WFT. And we're always wondering, like, when is he going to show? The fact that he finally got on the field and looked fluid. He looked really good. Ran a crisp route, caught the ball in traffic, and kind of did what we always hoped he really would, and we're surprised that he hadn't had the opportunity to, especially after Samuel left.
So now, if we're looking at these, like, tiny speedsters, and I think these guys are speedsters, but, like, Tutu Atwell, what do we feel about Tutu? What about Jalen Darden? Or Darden, I don't know. I just made him French. Darden. Sorry.
Very nice. You know,
Jalen Darden.
I think we keep Darden around simply because he's in Tampa and Tom Brady loves a shifty, smaller wide receiver. I don't think anything's going to really get anywhere with him. The same for Tutu Atwell. Van Jefferson's emerged and taken over that role. I just don't see anything there. Of all the scrap heap guys, I like Cordarrelle Powell the most simply because Kansas City's glut of wide receivers are basically going to go and he's going to get an opportunity. And he certainly showed what he could do at Clemson. So I think as a flyer, he's a flyer.
Yeah. You also, though, were holding on to Cornell. Like, you loved Cordarrelle Powell.
I did. Full disclosure. Absolutely did. So he's a guy. And I haven't changed that opinion because he hasn't gotten an opportunity. But maybe not. I don't know. Once they get the Byron Pringles of the world and the Robinsons of the world out of that roster, there's no reason he can't be the zone clearer, too.
Now,
Eskridge, though? What do you think about Dwayne Eskridge?
Well, I was just going to ask you. I was going to ask you about the guys who have really disappointed you and not like I thought they'd be the best in their third. Eskridge, I thought would be better. I thought he would get more opportunity, but that whole offense has been weird this year. It's been weird for a couple years. I'm still happy with him. I'm still happy. Like, but again, he was like my Cordarrelle Powell. Like, I liked Dwayne Eskridge in the draft process. I liked him in the post-draft process, and I still like him. So it's going to be hard to get me off of him. But what about, like, one guy for me who I thought something might happen with? Tylan Wallace, Baltimore. Yeah. Now, that's a crowded wide receiver room.
It is. And especially at the beginning of the season when he was, like, the only healthy dude and nothing came of it. And that's worrisome because he had all the opportunity. It was him and Hollywood and literally nobody else. Maybe it was the moment was too much too soon for a fourth round pick. But I thought Tylan Wallace would show us something and it just hasn't materialized. So unfortunately, the former Cowboy, I'm out on him. I just don't see anything there.
Yeah, for the most part, unless a player like I hang on to all my rookies for at least 2 years, unless they're free agents or completely showed they can't play.
Yeah.
So I'll still hold on. And but I have attachment issues. I don't like people to think like I'm abandoning them. So I don't want them. I don't want to make Racy McMath feel bad because I'm cutting him after his first season. I don't want Anthony Schwartz to, you know, go home for his weekly Seder and like be upset. I want him to be supported. I want them to know that I didn't just draft them because of what they could do for me. I drafted that because of who they were.
Well, this is the joy of Dynasty, right? We get the opportunity with these deep rosters that we don't have to purge things out right away. You can let the offseason play out and see what teams, because the teams will show you what they think of players based on who they bring in and who they don't bring in.
Yes.
So you'll see all this. And the place you get that information is the team beat writers. They get information that we are just not privy to and we'll never see. The other thing is places that change over coaching staffs. When a new staff comes in, yeah, they want their guys, but they always do in-depth analysis of what they have so they know what they have to get.
That's a good point. Always check the transactions because, you know, when you let somebody go, somebody like Sammy Watkins might mean something for Cordarrelle Powell, right? Like it shows that maybe they're okay with their depth chart. Maybe they're okay with the progress players have made. we don't see the practices. We don't see the reps they're putting in. Most of these guys are on the scout team, so we don't even hear about them. But that's when you establish who you're going to be in the NFL if you're not an instant star. And that's when you see these guys popping up a few years down the road, right?
But every season it happens.
Every season it happens.
Osborne in Minnesota is a great example.
You know, somebody who just stuck with it and did what they were supposed to do. And, you know, and I think you could have seen that with Olabisi Johnson up there before he went out. Like, here was a guy who they keep on the roster. They keep him on because they know he knows what to do when he goes into the game. That's vital.
So we should close it out with the early 2021 tight end group, because there's actually, unbelievably, rookie showers who turned out to be awesome players. That, okay, everybody knew Pitts. Great, fine. Was Pitts really overhyped, though, JJ?
Well, you know, you had Pitts as overhyped. I think Pat Freiermuth was underhyped. You know, we talked a lot about in the offseason how if it wasn't for Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth would have been the conversation among tight ends.
Yeah.
For rookies. Yeah, everybody would have loved him. But with Kyle Pitts being there, he got pushed down. Now, Kyle Pitts falls into this tight end designation, much like Mike Gesicki. Guys who don't play the tight end position. And I'm not sure why they're even called that, except that they're big wide receivers. They don't block. They don't go in line. They're split out every play. That's a wide receiver to me. But moving away from that, I think Kyle Pitts had a great year.
Absolutely.
He was just, everybody thought he was going to be tight end 2 or 3. Well, you're not going to do that as a rookie. I'm sorry. Especially the tight end position, especially with Matt Ryan as your QB. I mean, that team didn't really show up. I don't know what we expected out of him, but yeah. I think he had a solid year. I mean, he had low touchdowns. Did he? He had one. Yep. So touchdowns are fluky.
The crazy thing about this is it's like the Julio effect, because he was to take over for Julio and nobody explained to him that you were supposed to score touchdowns too.
Well, like Julio. Sometimes he just does it. Right. Good point. Yeah. And I love Pat Freiermuth, but are you surprised that John Bates kind of showed up as like a solid tight end?
To show up right away is surprising. It's always surprising for a rookie to show up right away, especially to get meaningful opportunities. But then again, when Logan Thomas went out and then stayed out longer because he went through 3 injuries before they eventually shelved him for real, somebody had to get those opportunities, and Seals Jones just is with the dude. So it's great for Bates. I didn't see it coming. I definitely didn't, but you know what? Good on him. He worked hard, got his opportunity.
I think he was the best rookie run blocker at tight end. Among best rookie tight end run blocker, according to PFF. Correct.
Yes.
Which is going to keep you in games.
Yep. Beat out Tommy Tremble and beat out Pat Freiermuth.
Yep. You know, I don't know. I'd be kind of happy with him on my squad now. I know I do have him on some of my deeper squads.
Yep.
Let's see what happens. I think Brevin Jordan is he was really hyped before the draft process.
Yep.
Then kind of fell off of radars.
He did. He came out of Miami. He was one of those guys who was projected to couldn't block, kind of tight end.
Well, guess what? You don't have to block when you're in the NFL.
Today's NFL. Tight end.
You can just
evidently not
let him out. So he played really well.
Yeah, he's shown.
I don't think you can judge any tight ends for 2 or 3 years.
I agree.
In my opinion with tight ends, I love tight ends. I love the position. It's one of my favorite positions. I love researching it. I love looking at it. However, unless you are 100% certain somebody's going to break out their rookie year, probably shouldn't even draft them. Because more than likely, you're going to be able to pick them up off of waivers the following year or year 3 before they start to break out. Right? Yep. Everybody rushed out to get Tommy Tremble this year. Right? He had a game or 2 that was decent.
Yep. Threw up a pile of fab money. Lots of people did.
And then he went away.
Yep.
He's going to be on, if he's not already on waiver wires, he will be. And you'll be able to pick him up. Brevin Jordan was on waiver wires, right?
He was for a lot of places.
Hell, John Bates is still on waiver wires.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see drafting a guy who you think is going to be a project at the tight end position. Just wait. Well, where are you at on the rookie tight ends?
The 2 we mentioned are absolutely there. Like, you got to have the top. Those top guys were the guys identified and showed up, which almost doesn't happen. Even when we identify the guy, half the time it fails, at least in the rookie year. So to have two perform well right off the jump is very impressive. Brevin Jordan's a guy to stash for sure. Hunter Long, you can have for free. Might be a guy because Gesicki's going to be a free agent this year. So we'll see. If they don't pay him, Hunter Long might get some of those opportunities. Who knows? Tight ends are rolling the dice. They just are. You're right. You're in for the project or you're scrounging.
Yeah, I think somebody you could probably pick up is Kylan Granson. I don't know how long Jack Doyle's going to hang around on that Indy team.
Yep.
Mo Alie-Cox really isn't anything. I think Kylan Granson could see some running room next year. Jacob Harris really hasn't done anything. You still kind of hope for him. Noah Gray's played a little bit.
Yep.
He's starting in to get Kansas out. City. So maybe you could get something there. But I mean, even Trey McKitty has flashed a little bit. But yeah. Again, that's why you don't draft these guys, because they're all on waivers. You can pick them up next year.
Yeah, there were no less than three Jacksonville tight ends that ran waivers and people got them. Croft with the Jets was another guy who hit waivers and people snapped up for nothing. There's players to be had, and unless you have one of the top four guys, it's tight end premium. So, yeah, anybody's
as good as another. Chris Herndon is still available, ladies and gentlemen. Next season,
so you know.
Tight end five.
Just so you know. Yeah, tight end five. It's patience all the way.
I don't even know if I would take Chris Herndon in round five of a tight end only draft.
Ouch. I think you might have to by default.
I still don't know if I would. He's hurt me. He's hurt me in here. Well,
some wounds don't heal.
Some wounds don't heal.
Speaking of some of those, a few are about to be inflicted when we get here to the college football games coming up. Number four, Cincinnati against number one, Alabama, and then Georgia against Michigan. These are going to be excellent football games. Well, one of them will be. The other one, we hope it's not a bloodbath. The line in the Cincinnati-Alabama game is 13.5 for Alabama. It doesn't pay you to bet. Just enjoy. But the other game is expected to be super competitive. Georgia, Michigan, the nation's best rush defense against one of the best rushing teams, should be a slugfest. The thing you need to know about this, guys, this is the Devy special for you, because five of the top draft available running backs are in these two games. No less than six draft eligible wide receivers that are important to know about are going to be in these games. And quarterback this year in Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati, you don't have to worry about either of really Michigan or Georgia's, but Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner and next year's Devy special, could well be the 101 next year.
Bryce Young won the Heisman. I didn't know that.
The Alabama quarterback. Imagine that.
Look at that. Was this his rookie year?
Freshman? This is his first year starting. He is a redshirt freshman, I believe.
Okay. I don't, as always, I don't watch college football.
Draft eligible after next season. He'll be in probably the front runner or maybe the second guy in the class of 2023, which is the next big quarterback draft with him. CJ Stroud will be draft eligible from Ohio State. And DJ Uiagalelei. Just call him DJU from Clemson DJU. if he enters the draft and if things go better for him, because this year was tough. But there you go. There's your college football primer. It's time for our final thoughts. We're there already. JJ, go ahead, lead us off.
Oh, let's see. Final thoughts. Well, I'm at JJ Winter on Twitter, as you can see below. Make sure you're tuning into the Getting Defensive Weekend Primer. That's on YouTube and Twitter live. We go on Thursday nights. I'll be doing that in a couple hours. So if you have any start sit questions, jump on. Make sure you're tuning in to the Next Man Up podcast. And make sure you're following us on Twitter to see the news that's going to be breaking in a couple weeks about our new home for the 2022 season. But thank you so much, Don, for having me on. This was a great way to end the year.
Yeah, man, it was my pleasure, and it's always wonderful to see you back. I'm Don Detweiler. You can get to me at Rider Dynasty, and the guys will get me anything you need to say. Look, it's been a fun ride. Make sure you're watching the lines. Make sure you're just checking for COVID stuff. Make sure you get that ship. Do everything in your power, because the last thing you want to do is be lax now. Guys, it's been a tremendous season. Enjoy the end. Good luck to you, Riders. We're all pulling for you.
Boat drinks, my friends. Boat drinks. I haven't said that in a long time. Sorry.